The chinuch will be, I guess, 1 week from tomorrow. Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach. So we were discussing yesterday what the discussion we left off in the middle of is eating all three pieces at the same time. When you have bittul brov yavish biyavish, so min b'mino. So do we assume that you can? So now it's batel. You have one item of iser, two items of heter. So it becomes batel. So are you allowed to eat all three pieces at the same time? So we discussed the shitas harush, which is not quoted in Shulchan Aruch, which is sure you can. You can make a triple decker sandwich, eat them all at the same time because bittel. It means that the iser is nepach. Leo's heter, no problem whatsoever. Then we have the Shittas HaRashba, where the Rashba says, no, not all three at the same time, but b'zeh achar zeh, that you can have three different times, and that's the first day according to Shulchan Aruch and Sif Aleph, and the Shach is Mivair, in the name of the Rashba, as you're eating each one, you can be told that that's the one of Heter, so there's never a moment where you're eating where you know for sure you're doing an Isser, and therefore you can always assume that it is Heter that you are having. So that is the Shittas HaRashba. That would mean, the Shach points out, that you can even eat two at a time, because since the whole thing is only, meaning Mida or Isser, really the Rosh is right. They're all Mutter, but Midrabanan, it would just look really bad if you ate all three at the same time. So, because then you know for sure you're eating the one that is Isser. So if you eat two at a time and you don't know for sure at any given time that you're eating the one that's Isser, it should be okay. It would turn out that Midrabanan, it would be okay to eat two at a time. However, we pointed out that the Pre-Torah says that you can only eat one at a time, not two at a time. And the way to explain that is that is based on the Gra, that Me'ikar Adin, that the Gra holds that Me'ikar Adin, the Rosh is wrong. Me'ikar Adin, you can't eat all three, because we're not going to be able to say Azlin and Basaruba once you're eating all three. And that's how our salvation explains that as soon as you take away the ability to say Azlin and Basaruba, so then the whole heter falls apart. So if you're going to eat two at one time, you're not going to be able to say Azlin and Basaruba, because now it's a 50-50 chance, right, that whether you're eating the Isser or not. Each Achila is a 50-50 chance. So therefore, it would be problematic to eat two at a time, unlike what the Shach says. So again, but those are the first two basic shitos. Rush is shita number one, it's not quoted in Shulchan Aruch. You can eat all three in a triple decker sandwich. The Rashba, that you can eat all three, but zeh achar zeh, and that is quoted in Shulchan Aruch. And then we have shita satosos. So Tosos says, the same person can't eat all three, even if he's not eating them together. And that's the second day in Shulchan Aruch. V'yesh misho selachal mechad, adem echad afilu zeh achar zeh. That some say that even zeh achar zeh, an adem echad is not allowed to eat them, but you could divide them among three different people and everyone can eat one of the pieces. So all three pieces could be eaten by Jewish people, and that's fine, but just not by the same Jewish person. And it's very mistaver, because when the same guy eats the third piece, at that point he knows definitively, if you assume, not like the Rush, if you assume that the Isser is not Nebhak, Leo's Heter, so if the same guy is eating the third piece, at that point he knows definitively that he has eaten the Chaticha of Isser, and that's terrible. So how can he eat the Chaticha of Isser? So that's the Shita of Tosfos. Now, the point that we made yesterday, I think that we maybe closed with yesterday, is what exactly is the Svara for the Rashba allowing you to eat all three? Meaning, if you don't allow making a triple duck sandwich, it's because you hold that the Isser is not Nepach Leheter. So if this is not Nepach Leheter, so Tosfos is a very good point. By the same guy eating all three, he's definitely eating something that is Isser. Now, this is not a question if you assume that it's all on a Drabbanan level, because on a Drabbanan level, there shouldn't be a moment where you look at it and you say, oh, that's the moment that the guy's doing an Isser. But if you could take each moment independently, then it wouldn't be so much a problem. But if you assume that Mita Oraisa, the Rush, is incorrect, that the Isser is not Nepach Leos Heter, that we reject the Rush on a Oraisa level, shouldn't that lock you in to Tosfos? Meaning, if Mita Oraisa, the Isser, does not turn into Heter, how can, in good conscience, how can one person eat all three chatichos, even b'zeh achar zeh? So that's what we pointed out. I think that's what we ended with Rav Soloveitchik, where he explains that Af Harash b'modesh shenamar din bitul gam b'tarav es yavish b'yavish kedas harash That the din bittul of the rush is true, he does accept the din bittul, but only on the condition that with each achila you have a zlinun basaruba to rely upon. And then the din bittul is going to kick in. But whenever it's not shaykh to say zin basaruba in a particular maisa achila, like vir all three at the same time, then there's no din bittul either. And therefore the Rashba's shita will make perfect sense. Now the Taz in Siv Katan Aleph makes it very clear that this whole discussion is on a drabbanon level. The entire discussion about eating them all together is only chumra midrabbanon. Min haTorah, you absolutely can eat them all together, right? The Taz and Sifkat Nalif writes, "D'chsev akram natos v'lo chmiru rabbanon latzuch shishim kibin shenu rilis gabin rak shehichmiru shelo yochal shloshtan ke'echad." That it's hichmiru. Hichmiru means midrabbanon, that you shouldn't eat them all at the same time. But the rush is iser nepach lios heter is really true on a daraisa level. And therefore, the way the Taz seems to be learning is that the Rishonim who question the rush are only question, or who disagree with the rush, are only disagreeing on a drabbanon level, but they would agree on a daraisa level that it's iser nepach lios heter. However, there is a Tosfos Rid in Maseches Bava Basra. Tosfos Rid in Bava Basra, Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Aleph, disagrees and says, no, if you eat all three pieces, you're in violation of an Issa D'Oraisa, Chayiv Chatas. Right? That's clear D'Oraisa language. Chayiv Chatas. That it is not that everyone agrees with the Rosh, that it's really batel, and it's just a question of how much of a Chumra D'Rabbanan are we going to impose? No, Chayiv Chatas. And the Rosh holds, you can eat it L'chachila, Tosfos Rid is at the opposite extreme, Chayiv Chatas. Where does the Tosfos Rid get this from? So he gets it from a sugya in Bava Basra that seems not at all related. The sugya in Bava Basra, Daf Lamed Aleph, about Edus Mukheshes. So when you have contradictory Edus, so what do you do with those Edim that have contradicted each other? So the Gemara tells us as follows. The Gemara says that Shtei Kite Edim HaMachishim Ze'ezeh, you have two sets of witnesses that are Machish each other, right? Two witnesses say Reuven killed Shimon, two witnesses say Reuven didn't kill Shimon. So there's a machlokas, can you accept those Edim for another Din Torah? Right? In that Din Torah, we throw out all the Edus, because it's Edus Mukheshes, so we can't accept anybody. But let's say I have those same Edim, I have Yisachar Zvulun are one set of Edim, and Yosef Binyamin are the other set of Edim. Am I allowed to ask Yisachar Zvulun to be my Edei Kiddushin? They've been Edus Mukheshes in this Din Torah. In the future, can I rely on their Cheskas Kashrus? So the Gemara says that Rav Huna says that they're Suffolk Puzzle, and they have a Cheskas Kashrus, though. So when you're Mesupak and someone has a Chazaka, you go with the Chazaka, and therefore they're perfectly fine. That's Shitas Rav Huna. Rav Chista says, what are you talking about? Hadi Sadi Shakri Lovely. Can't you find two decent Eidim? What do you need to get involved with these liars? Why would you bring people who have such a checkered history of Eidos into Beis Din? What about their Cheskas Kashrus? So some Rishonim say, yeah, Rav Chista means as a Chumra Midrabanan. Of course, I know you have a Cheskas Kashrus, but of all Edom on the planet, why would you choose these guys? You know, a lot of times I get questions about Edei Kiddushin and Edei Ksuba. You know, can I have this person? He's kind of Shomer Shabbos, not really Shomer Shabbos. Well, why? Why would you do that? There aren't going to be from people at your wedding. I mean, find someone from, find, pull aside anyone who's Shomer Shabbos. Just don't get involved in these things. And that's how some Rishonim understand Rav Chista. But others say that no, it's a din da'oraisa, because there's a reisa on the chazaka. Now, even if it is da'oraisa, that they're possible, like Rav Chista, is it a psul b'taras vaday or a psul b'taras suffix? So this is a further machlokas Rishonim. The logic to say that it's a psul b'taras vaday is that to be an aid, you have to be a known ish ne'eman. So as long as there's any leidas ha-safik about the person's honesty, then they are pasul b'taras vaday. Because once there's a leidas ha-safik, they are not a known ish ne'eman. That's what it means to be an aid, that they're known to be a trustworthy person. And you don't have to be the biggest tzaddik, the biggest gon in the world in order to be an aid. Sometimes people get very nervous about this. I had someone texting me yesterday. My friend asked me to be an aid yichud at his wedding. Just, is it ma'akev? the kiddushin is the couple not going to be married. So why do you care? Meaning, like, what makes you think that you're now a kosher aid? So he said, nothing. I'm just nervous. I just don't want to be. Meaning, okay. So there's not. You know, Rav Kalman Zatzal, I've mentioned many times, used to tell people to be a kosher aid at a wedding, to be an aid kiddushin. All he needs to be, the person needs to be shomer Shabbos, a basic shomer Torah mitzvah, a basic shomer Shabbos. It does not have to be a rabbi. It doesn't have to be the chief rabbi. It doesn't have to be a big Rosh Yeshiva. They don't have to have 18 titles before and after his name. He just needs to be a shomer Shabbos, right? The person needs to be basically religious. And known to be, in Ishnema, known to be an honest person, someone who doesn't steal. But if you have someone who has such a reyusa on his honesty, so then he's not an Ishnema, and therefore it's possible to Torah's Vadeh. But we don't paskin like Rav Chista anyway, we paskin like Rav Huna, Zuba b'fnei atzma mi'ida, Zuba b'fnei atzma umi'ida. That each set of Edom can come back to Beis Din and they can testify about their own, about other cases. And that's perfectly fine. So, if I had Yisachar and Zvulun contradicting in Eidus against Yosef and Binyamin, so for that case, we throw them all out. But in the future, this Beis Din can accept Yisachar and Zvulun about case number one, Yosef and Binyamin about case number two, and that's perfectly fine. They're all Kashra Eidim. However, what if Yisachar and Binyamin get together to be made about another case? Right, one of the Edom on this side and one of the Edom on the other side are now joined together, and now they are the Edom Kiddushin, the Edom of a Get, the Edom of a Get, the Edom of a Halva'a, whatever the Edos could be, whatever the Edos is. One witness from each set joined to testify. So the Rashbam writes, well, then it's a Tarti Disaster, because you know for sure that one of them is a liar, right? You know for sure that one of them is a Shakron, you just don't know which one. So Tosus Rid, in that context, that's when Tosus Rid pipes up. Tosus Rid says, oh, just like you can't mix and match Edim, one from here and one from there, you also can't eat all three pieces of meat together, even though the Isser is Bachal Barov. Meaning, sometimes there are halachic mechanisms that allow for things to be kosher, but if at the end of the day those halachic mechanisms presume that you're relying on certain assumptions, and you can close off those assumptions, well, then you have to trafe it up, right? So over there are halachic mechanisms that say that Yisachar and Zvulun are kosher, and that Yosef and Binyamin are kosher, but that's only because with each time you're able to assume, yeah, they were never the pasul ones. But if you have Yosef and Zvulun together, so now you know that you're dealing with someone that's a liar, so that's a problem. So here also you have Bittul Barov. Bittul Barov is a halachic mechanism, but if you're having all three at the same time, then you know that you're dealing with Isser, and therefore it's no good. On a Doraisa level, the Rush would probably respond that with Eidus, by combining the two witnesses, it's no longer a Safek. Meaning the whole idea was, but why is it? What was the mechanism that we were machshir the Edom in that case? Because Yisachar and Zvulun have a cheskas kashrus, Yosef Binyamin have a cheskas kashrus. When I'm a subuk about a person, I go with their chazaka. So when you're besafik, you follow the chazaka. Well, once I take away the safik, then I'm not allowed to follow the chazaka. There's no safik anymore. Now I know that I'm dealing with a problem. Over here, we're not dealing with safik. We're dealing with an entirely different halachic mechanism called Bittul. Bittul means that the other thing doesn't exist anymore. The characteristics of Isser are gone. It's not based on the suffix. Tosus Rid learned that may be true by Bittul Lach Belach Beshishim or something, that the characteristics of Isser are entirely gone. But when you talk about Bittul Barov, Yavesh B'Yavesh, come on, the treif of meat is still treif of meat. How can you say that the characteristics of Isser are entirely gone? Tosus Rid must be learning that Bittul Barov is also about Sveikos, and the reason you're allowed to eat the meat is because the odds are you're eating a kosher piece of meat. But as soon as you close off those odds, it's going to be Aser, Mida Oraisa. Whereas the Rush says, no, it's not about odds, it's not about Sveikos, it's about a mechanism called Bittul, which makes the Isser go away. The Isser just disappears. So to put it succinctly, the basic Chakira is whether Bittul Barov actually turns the Isser into Heter, which is the Shitas HaRash, and might also be the Shitas HaRashba and Tosos on the Daraisa level, and they just are Machmir Midrabanan, either to eat one after the other, or to have three different people eating it. Or on the other side is those rib that you can eat the food, since the odds are that you're not consuming non-kosher. But as soon as you make it, that the odds are that you are consuming non-kosher, then it all goes away. Now, Shulchan Aruch then goes on to say that if I cook all three pieces together, it would depend on what you hold about Bitzel Barov. Meaning, now that we've said that Bitzel Barov, the way it works according to some Rishonim, is that it's Isser Nepach Lios Heter, and according to other Rishonim, no, the Isser is very much still there. What if I am Mevashel all three pieces together? Well, if the Isser already turned into Heter, being Mevashel all three pieces together should be no problem whatsoever. If you hold that one person can eat all three like the Rush at the same time, so just like I can eat all three at the same time, when I cook all three together, it should be no problem. And remember, the Rush was not cited in Shulchan Aruch, and therefore you would properly anticipate that the Rush would not be mentioned in this regard either. That if you cook them all together, that it's going to be perfectly fine. According to the other Rishonim, we say not to eat all three together would be a problem if they're cooked together, because now you have the blios all over all three of them. So Shulchan Aruch says that if they're ever cooked together and blios transfer, you need shishim. However, Shulchan Aruch says, I have an eitzah for you. That if you want to cook it, I have a simple eitzah. Look, it's already batel, right? You have chad betray batel. Thing is, you'd like to cook it all together, you'd like to make a cholent out of it. If you make a cholent out of it, you know it's going to be treif. So add 58 more pieces of heter. And if you add 58 more pieces of heter, now you'll have a 60-to-1 ratio. And now when you cook it together, it's not going to be a problem, right? And why is that not a violation of ein mevatlin issur l'chachila? It's already batel. It's already batel. So you're not, when I have something, if I have a drop of milk that falls into a giant pot of chicken soup, I'm allowed to add more chicken soup after that. It's already batel. So when it's already batel, I can increase the ratio. So that's the Eitz of Shulchan Aruch. Now, Kav Chaim points out that only works on Yavesh B'Yavesh Min B'Mino, because it's already batel. So adding more heter is not a violation of Bitalos Isol Chachila. But min b'she'enu mino yavesh b'yavesh, which is not already batel, you would not be allowed to be mosif heter. Because by min b'she'enu mino, you need shishim. So since min b'she'enu mino yavesh b'yavesh, you need shishim, you cannot say, oh, I'll just add 58 more, because that is a violation of bitulis l'chachila. And then in a rarity, the Ramah is more mekil. And the Ramah says that the Eishomrim, Dim noda tarovas kodim shen esvashu biyachad hakol shari de im chosum bene asarim meachas shen esbatal biyavesh. If you had awareness of the tarovas before you cooked them together, everything's going to be mutter, because the one chaticha of isur will no longer have the capacity to aser the others once it is already batel. While it was yavesh, and then the Rama says, "B'makom hefsid yesh lismoch adivrei makilin lahatir." That b'makom hefsid, we could be somech on the makilin and be matir. That's the Rama. One second, what's the gra over there? So if you look in the gra in Osir Aleph on the bottom of the page, Kain kasav. What's the Rama based on? Harash, right? Meaning, once you understand that the two issues are related to each other, right? Meaning, the issue of whether Isser Nepach Lios Heter, in terms of eating all three as a sandwich, and cooking all three together, is the same issue. And the Rush, who says you can eat all three as a sandwich, will say you can cook them all together, right? Once you understand that's the same issue, so when the Ramah says that Yesh Omrim, that it's Mutter, what he's saying is, look, Mechaber, you only quoted Shitas HaRashba and Shitas HaTosvos. Don't forget, there's a Shitas HaRash. That's what the God writes, Kekas HaRash, because Shitas So, the Isser Nebach Lehet, Vein Chozer V'Nasar. Wow. And therefore, the Ramah says, B'makom Hefsid, we could be Somech on the Divrei HaMakilin, we could be Somech on the Rash. Meaning the Ramah is saying that b'makom hefsid, you can make your triple decker sandwich and eat it that way, because it was already batel in yavesh b'yavesh. So there's a discussion in the Achronim when the Rama says b'makom hefsid, you could be mekel. How big of a hefsid does it have to be? The Prima Gadim in Mishpat Zav says hefsid meruba. He says hefsid, he really means hefsid meruba. Whereas the Chachma Sadam in Klal Nun Alef Din Chav says nah, any hefsid is enough. You don't need hefsid meruba. The Rama didn't say hefsid meruba. He says hefsid. So if it's going to be a loss of money, so then it's going to be a problem. Then it's going to be mutter. It's not going to be a problem. So in the Ol Yaakov, he quotes a Tshuvas Tuvtam Vedas Chelik Gimel Sim Reish Lamed Ches that when a Suffolk Isser gets mixed Chad Betray, you can eat a triple decker sandwich. A Suffolk Isser gets mixed Chad Betray, you can eat them all three together. I'm sorry that you can't. Tuvtam Vedas says you can't. Badei Hashulchan says Luchora you can. Right? Why Luchora you can? Because Chad Betray Batel B'Makom Hefsid is mutter. And there's a klal that the Prima Gadim has in Psak Halacha that whatever is mutter b'makom hefsid is also mutter whenever you add another tzad suffik. So since the Rama passes that it's mutter b'makom hefsid, so if you add another tzad suffik, it's also going to be mutter.
In the Beis Yosef, he puts he writes in the Bedek Bias like the Rama and seeing that even shalom b'makom hefsid. So wouldn't that then mean really the Beis Yosef is more mekel at the end of the day?
But he doesn't quote in Shulchan Aruch.
But didn't we say that he wrote
Bedek Bias
after Shulchan
Aruch? Yeah, I don't know. But it's a good question. I don't know. I think most just. I don't know.
I mean, that was the same story we used to say, like, not or not would be much of a tapila.
Right. Yeah, but I don't see anyone say that over here. I don't know. Yeah.
That's the rule is to from his cook together.
Lav Dafka, meaning it seems that it's Lav Dafka, meaning when it's cooked together, L'chora, it's going to be a Hefsid Meruba, because you're going to lose the other pieces. When it's not cooked together, it's less likely to be Hefsid Meruba, because you could still eat all three pieces, you know, Bezeh, Chazeh, or have three different people eat them. So it's not going to be, or throw out one piece, according to what the Rama says in Sivan, right? So it's not going to be a Hefsid Meruba. Speaking of, right, we didn't mention that, but we can go back to that right now. The Rama has this idea that, you know, what do we have? We have the Rosh who says make a triple decker sandwich. We have the Rashba who said you can eat all three bezeh achrazeh. We have Tos who says not the same person can eat all three. Different people can eat all three, but all three can get eaten. Then the Rama had quoted a fourth possibility, which is that throw one piece out and eat the other two. Now you got to throw one piece out. The question is, when you look at the two comments of the Rama, they seem difficult to reconcile. When it comes to eating all three, the Rama says, don't do it. When it comes to the pieces that are cooked together, he says, it's mutter. So what's the difference? So it's exactly your point, right? Meaning that when it's cooked together, by definition, that becomes a hefsid. Because now you're going to lose all the pieces. When it's not cooked together, it's not a hefsid. And therefore, there's no reason to be someich on any kulas. Meaning the only hefsid you're going to have is the one piece that you throw out, which isn't a hefsid, because one of the pieces was treif anyway. So, of course, you should, you know, that's not considered a hefsid. So that's why the Rama only mentions this in Sif Beis when he talks about cooking it together. Let's go back to that issue about throwing a piece out. There is a question that relates to how bitul yavish b'yavish works. Meaning, if it's Isser Nepah Leos Heter, then you certainly would not have to throw one piece out. But if you hold it's more about relying on the odds that you're eating a kosher piece, then it makes sense to say that, you know, I'd rather know that there's at least a possibility that I did nothing wrong, that I didn't even touch the non-kosher piece, and that no Jew did anything wrong, that nobody touched this non-kosher piece, right? And how can I see to it that's a possibility? So Rashi in Maseches Avodah Zarah and Daf Ayin Dalet says, oh, simple, throw out one of the pieces. And then maybe you could assume, you could be tola that that's the piece that you threw out. There's always a question, and that's what Rama writes. Yesh machmirin l'hashlich echad, olitin la'akum v'enu alachum rabi yalma. It's only chum rabi yalma, not required, but to give one piece to a guy, or to throw one piece out, would satisfy this shitas Rashi, because you could then be tola that the ones that you're eating are actually kosher, which is interesting, right? The idea of being tola. You have sugis like this in the beginning of Psachim about being tola that you know, the piece of chametz you found is the one that you knew about that was lost, right? You know, things like that. The shailas and poskim of you have a sefer Torah in the Aron for years that has a gartel around the outside of it. So why did they put a gartel around the outside of the sefer Torah? because it's possible. Someone found the psul in it, and they just never got around to fixing it. It's not right. The Gemara says, "Al tishkan ba'alecha avla," that you're not allowed to keep an avla b'toch pesecha. So the Sefer Torah that's pasul, that's chaser ol sachas, is considered an avla. You're not allowed to leave it around. You're supposed to fix it. A sefer sheit umuga. Question is that only true of the Sefer Torah? For other svarim as well, but certainly for a Sefer Torah, it's a shailin halacha when you have sifrei nach. Meaning a Megillah can have all sorts of psulim. It could have chaseros, it could be missing half the letters, and it's still going to be kosher. Megillah's Esther, because it's Nikra Igeres. It's not only Nikra Sefer, it's also Nikra Igeres. A Sefer Torah is chasro sachas, right? That's the chiddush of the Zohar that the Rambam somehow quoted. It's unusual, because the Rambam never quotes Zohars, because the Rambam didn't have a Zohar. And there's one din. That we only know from the Zohar, and the Rambam quotes the Halacha, and that is Sefer Torah Chasar Al Sachas. Gemara doesn't say it. The Gemara in Gittin says if it's missing an entire section, that it's puzzle. So Chasar Al Sachas puzzle, Rambam quotes from the Zohar. Again, it doesn't quote from the Zohar. Rambam paskins, and we only know it, you know, from the Rambam and from the Zohar. But anyway, so that's true of the Sefer Torah. What about Sefer Nach? Anyone daven in a shul where they lane Haftarah from a cloth? Gluck, okay. Who lanes in it? Who does it in Gluck? Balkari. Balkari is, okay. So, all right. So it's a shaila. What if those klafim have psulim in them? So is there any advantage in laning from a klaf if they have broken letters, things like that? So it's an interesting question, la halacha. Rabbi Reisman said that when his shul is an aguda shul, so they got a set of klafim from an aguda shul that was closing down. It was the aguda of Crown Heights. Not so much market for an aguda in Crown Heights anymore. So when they closed down, they sent the klafim to the aguda of Madison, to Rabbi Reisman's shul. He said he once got a phone call like 10 years later, a guy saying, you know, I own those klafim, I want them back. And he's like, no, I don't think I'm supposed to return it unless you give me a simon or you have some raya or something. So the guy's like, okay, if you'll use them, it's okay. I don't know. But he said he noticed that there were all sorts of psulim all over the klafim. So he wasn't sure, because on the one hand, Sefer Torah chasro sachas. On the other hand, Megillah is totally fine, but no one ever says anything about anything in between. No one ever says anything about the other sifrei nach, whether they become possible or not. So he said that he was in Eretz Yisrael in like the mid-90s, and he was walking in Bnei Brak, and he saw Ruchaim Kanievsky coming the other way. That was back in the day, like where you could just meet Ruchaim Kanievsky walking down the street. So, and he said that Ruchaim was getting into a car, but people were lining up to ask him questions, and no one was rushing anyone, and no one was pushing anyone out of the way, and he was sitting there patiently answering all the questions. There was no buhas, there was no, you know, it was just like talking. You know, so he said that he asked Reb Chaim, he told him, I have these klafim, are they possible? So Reb Chaim said, you should fix them. He said, they're hard to fix. He said, I wanted an answer to the shayla. He said, they're hard to fix. Reb Chaim said, fix them anyway, even if it's hard. So they didn't really get an answer. So he said that he remembers when he used to daven by Ramesha on the Lower East Side, when Ramesha was older, he had a minion in his apartment. People would come to help make a minyan because it was difficult for him to leave. So he said they'd lean from a klaf there on a tainus and mincha. And he said he remembers the klafim also were in total disarray. And apparently Ramesha didn't have a problem with it. So that was his best raya that it's not a problem. So I was always intrigued by that story because I'm always on the lookout for rayas. So Rav Schechter, just before you do that, before you blow it up with 18 rayas, Rav Schechter said in the shir recently that he was always bothered by this, that Rav Soloveitchik was always bothered by this very same question. Are there any rayas one way or another, whether it's pasul or kasher? And Rav Schechter was so happy when they finally published the Shailos HaTshuvos HaRitva by Musar Rav Kook, because in the Tshuvos HaRitva, he has a tshuva where he discusses this issue. And in one line he says pasul, the next line he says kasher. It's mamish astiru minei ubei, from one line to the next. So I looked up Tshuvos HaRitva, taka, from one line to the next. It's astiru minei ubei. The shaila was really about someone who wanted to be machshir sifrei Torah that were missing lots of letters. So the Ritva's like, come on, it's ridiculous, you can't do that. But in that discussion, in one line he says, Megillah, yeah, but nothing else. And then another line he says, Nach, yeah, but nothing else. You know, like it's a, so it's a stira mamish mineu bay. So no, no way to be poshut the shayla. So I, as soon as I found out, I sent an email to Rabbi Reisman. Rav Shachter found this my remarkable meritva, chuvas haritva, and I sent it to him on Purim night when I got back. I don't know, it was late. And Purim morning, he sent back, the best mishloach man. You know, to have such a maramakum. But it doesn't, it's not poshe. Now, what are all the rest of the writings?
I think Rabbi Yashar was machmir.
He what?
Rabbi Yashar was machmir.
He was machmir. Okay. So you think Rabbi Chaim wasn't just being coy, he was taking a stand. That you gotta be, okay. But okay, but any writings from Rishonim? Okay. Yeah. All right. So that's anyway. Why am I mentioning that? Because the post can talk about the following shayla. You have a sefer Torah that has a gartel around it. So the gartel around the sefer Torah. Again, you're not supposed to leave an avla in your shul in your house. You're not supposed to leave a sefer sheno mugar. Rav Khan Shlita once gave a musar shmuz in the Beis Medrash about television and how back in the day when that was the issue before the internet, and he was saying. You know, even if you tell me that there's quality programming on television, at least be moda that it's a Sefer Torah Sheino Muga. You know, is it at least as bad as a Sefer Torah that's missing a letter or two? So that was the gist of the shmooze. He said it much better. But so, what if years later you finally say, you know, let's fix the Sefer Torah? Who remembers what the mistake was in the Torah? And no one in the shul remembers. It's been years in the Aron with the gartel around the side. So you start looking, you look and look and look, and you find a mistake. So can you assume that the mistake you found is the mistake that was there last time, or maybe this is a different mistake, and you still have a problem? So that's the question of Taliyah, that at what point can you say, when can you say that I could be told that this is what it was supposed to be? So, okay, so that's the assumption that Rashi has, that when you throw one out, you could be told that the one that was thrown out, and so the Yom it's about Truma that's being nofel into Truma, and there are two things, one of Truma, one of Chulin, or one of Truma Tamei, and they're falling into two barrels, one of Truma and one of Chulin. So can you assume Truma tok Truma nofel and Chulin tok Chulin nofel, and not the reverse, where it's going to mess everything up? Right? So that's the din of being told. So this Rashi seems to be against Mishnayos. Because speaking of Truma, there's a Mishnah that speaks about Taroves of Truma and Chulin. So what's the sheer bittul for Truma and Chulin? In order for Truma to become batul and Chulin, so you need a 100-to-1 ratio. Not Midaraisa. Midaraisa chad betray batul. Midaraisa, it's batul b'rov, but Midrabanan, you need Meya for Truma. Where do they get Meya from? Kehetero kachisuro. That just like Trumas Meiser is 1/100th of the original Chulin. So too, the Isser is going to be, it's going to Aser in 1/100th. Ketero Kachisuro. When it comes to Arlo Vekilea Kerem, so Arlo Vekilea Kerem, you need a 200-to-1 ratio. Why? Kishem Shakafal be Suro, Kach Kafal, Bibitul or Bed, you know, whatever. Kach Kafal, whatever the expression is, Behetero. That just like the Isser of Arlo Vekilea Kerem is a double Isser, so you need double the shear for Bittel. What do you mean it's a double Isser? It's an Isser Achila. And it's an Isser Hana'ah. So since it's a double Isser, both Achila and Hana'ah, which obviously doesn't, it's not a numeric thing, right? Meaning Hana'ah is not twice as much as Achila. It's just, yeah, whatever. It's an expression, Midrabanan. Obviously, these rules are all Midrabanan. However, the Mishnah says, when you have Truma that's bottled B'meya, you have to take out 1/100th and give it to a Kohen so he doesn't get cheated out of the Truma that he was expecting. Gezel Kohanim. Meaning the Kohen was the rightful owner of that bit of Truma. Now you're going to say it's batel, but the Kohen's going to be short whatever amount of Truma there was in that Taroves. What if it was Arla? If it was Arla, it doesn't go to anybody. So there's no one that's short on food, right? So if it's Arla, you don't need to take anything out. Just rely on Bittel. L'chora, that's against Rashi. Because if Rashi says even when Bittel works, that even when Bittel works, I'm going to need to take out the amount that was Isser, because you want to get rid of, you want to be Tola that whatever I throw out is probably the Isser anyway. So why not say the same thing by Arla? So the answer is that even if you hold like Tosrid, Tarovs Yavish Yavish works with playing the odds, he would agree that Tarovis lach belach is Isur Nepach Lios Hatin. Meaning this whole discussion of whether Isur Nepach Lios Hatin is in the din of Yavish B'Yavish, because it's a chiddush by Yavish B'Yavish. They tell me that two things that never really mingled fully, and they remained independent, I just can't identify them, that the Isur somehow magically became Heter, as opposed to when things physically mixed and mingled and got to the point where they're no longer have their own characteristics and they fuse into a single unit. That, everyone might agree that Isur is Nepach Lios Heter. So Rashi learns when the Mishnah contrasts the Tarovis Truma with the Tarovis Arlan Kilei Kerem, it's saying that when there's a Tarovis Lach B'Lach, we're throwing out one piece, doesn't help your odds at all, because it's already batel. By Truma, you still have to take it out because of Hefsid Kohen, but that's a separate factor. That's not a bittel factor. But by Arlo Kilei Kerem, there's no sense. There's no need to take anything out. And that's one of the many ways that Lach B'Lach is a more intense taroves than Yavish B'Yavish. Meaning it's a higher quality taroves than a taroves of Yavish B'Yavish. We've seen a number of cases where Lach B'Lach is a higher quality taroves than Yavish B'Yavish, right? We had the Nedv Yehuda that Ein Mevatel Nisa L'Chadchila is only an Isur D'Rabbanan by Lach B'Lach, but not by Yavish B'Yavish. Because you're not really creating a Tarovas B'Yavish B'Yavish. It might be an Isur D'Oraisa by Yavish B'Yavish. Then we had other cases as well. The Rama says, Machlokas Rishonim about Tarovas Chametz from before Pesach, whether you say it's Chozer V'Nei or on Pesach, the Rama says that by Lach B'Lach, you for sure don't say Chozer V'Nei. That you'd only say that by Yavish B'Yavish. That the Chametz is also B'Mashu. So what if it was already Batel from before Pesach? So on Pesach, do I now have to be gores that mashuhu again? So if you have a tarovus of lach b'lach, says Rama, no, it's batal, it's gone. The whole iser has disappeared. But by yavish v'yavish, it's going to be chazav v'nei. By yavish v'yavish, you have to be gores again. Yeah.
So we're making the kimta on that Mishnah that it's only talking about lach b'lach?
Yeah. That the Arlan Kelei Karim that we're talking about is lach b'lach. Yeah, that's what it seems to be. Now, this plays out halacha lemaisa in I think we've discussed this already in shechita places when they shecht chickens. To fulfill the chumra of the Rama, right? The Rama says you got to throw out one piece. It's not enough with one piece. You have to throw out however many pieces might be treif, right? Meaning, if you know that you have 10 treif pieces and 1,000 kosher pieces, great. So there's bittel, but the chumra of the Rama is to throw out 10 pieces. So we pointed out that the system, or at least it used to be, I think Rabbi Schreier told me that it's not that way anymore, but I think it used to be that the system at Empire Chicken is that if they find a begima in one of the shochtim's knives, because they have several shochtim working simultaneously, they'll throw out as many as the shochet had checked, as that shochet had checked since the last time he checked his knife. So let's say he checks his knife every 10 or 15 chickens. So if he checked his knife and it was smooth, did another 15 shechitas, checked his knife, which takes him about 15 seconds, checked his knife again, and this time it was not smooth, it had a begim in the knife, but he doesn't know where his chickens are, because there are five other shochtim working alongside him that are all putting chickens on the line and on the they're going around the factory to go through their processing and everything else. So he doesn't know which are his 15 chickens and which are the other shochet's 15 chickens. So they just take 15 chickens and they chuck. Well, do they know that it's his? It doesn't matter. You don't have to know that it's his. It's Yavish B'Yavish. It's a Tarovus Yavish B'Yavish. It's bottled in way more than a row. They're shechting thousands and thousands and thousands of chickens. I mentioned to you when I went with my Chavrusa when I was learning Yerodea to David Elliott in Scranton, Pennsylvania. David Elliott's a small operation. And they only had one shochet working, and they shecht 4,000 chickens a day. In this tiny little operation where they basically do Cornish hens and they specialize in certain things, but at Empire they're doing over 100,000 chickens a day. It's a huge operation that they have going on over there. So they just take out 15 and throw them away, as long as they get them before the chickens go into the defeathering machine. The chickens go when they're on the assembly line, so to speak. They go into this machine that shakes them up and takes off 90% of the feathers of the chicken. The idea is that once it's become defeathered, it's a problem. Why? Zichri Liskabi. So there's not going to be any bittul. So just to chazer that over, if you remember in Simul Kuf Aleph, Sif Gimel, we had a machlokas where the Tarnagolas binot sasa is a chatichori liskabe. And Tarnagolas still has its feathers, is it considered a chatichori liskabe? So the Rashba, the Mechaber over there, says that as long as it's not cooked, it's not ruyi liskabe. But the Rosh says, no, I feel the Tarnagolas binot sasa is ruyi liskabe, because ro'i lisakno lagisha b'vnei orchim. It's not so hard to take off the feathers and serve it to a guest. So the Rama is machria to be machmir on raw chicken that it is real iskabed, but to be makel when it has feathers because it's muchuseres maisa gadol. It's missing a maisa gadol when it still has its feathers on it, right? And therefore, it's not real iskabed. So in the Megillah Sefer, he says, you know, I'm not sure. Nowadays, would Rama still say that? Because maisa gadol, to defeather it by hand, is a maisa gadol. Now we have machines that, you know, hundreds of chickens go through in a matter of seconds, and they're all defeathered. It's a maisa gadol. Maybe with our abilities now, it's no longer a maisa gadol. He says that maybe ain't a maisa gadol kol kach. We're making about that. So we assume it's not a chatichor l'skabit as long as it has feathers on it. So that's what they would do. Since Empire produces so much chicken, there's a significant amount that they anyway, meaning it's not hard for them to chuck 15 chickens. Why? Because there's a significant amount that they're not going to be able to sell in the kosher market anyway. There's only so much chicken that the kosher market needs. So Empire actually has a non-kosher packing also. Meaning, let's say they know that they only need 100,000 kosher chickens a day. And that day, they produced 108,000, 120,000. So they'll take those extra 8,000, those extra 20,000 under a different brand. It's not called Empire. I don't know if it's Empire spelled backwards. It's one of these shticks, you know, like when Kedem makes fancy wine, they call it Medek, you know. So you ever see that? it's an actual thing. They have a different brand. That's a Trefer brand, right? Meaning, you might, if you were to go into your local ShopRite and buy a chicken, a tray for chicken, you might get lucky and find an Empire plumber inside and luck into a kosher chicken. You might not, so I wouldn't recommend doing that. But you just get sold in the Trefa market, so they have no problem just sending 15 chickens in the wrong place. In other chicken places, they rely on what they'll throw out anyway. Meaning by Empire, they have to throw out those 15, you know, an extra 15 because the guy shefted it. Other places say, well, we're going to have to throw out X number anyway because the FDA is going to come and they're going to, you know, and there are going to be some number of trefos anyway. So, the number that we're going to throw out anyway will probably cover the amount that this guy, for the Chumrah of the Ramah, right, which is all it is, the Chumrah of the Ramah, to throw out, you know, that extra, probably will be covered with whatever the FDA throws away. By David Elliott, they had an even better system. They didn't rely on any of this. The chickens never got to the assembly line because they had like a kli that had 16 sections in it, and every 15 chickens he would check his knife. So he knew exactly where his chickens were. So they would throw out those chickens that he had shechted since the last time that he checked his knife, which is an even better system. Now, even the Chumrah of the Ramah may not be relevant, since anyway it's a hefsid to throw out hundreds of chickens, right? And the Rama says that the makom hefsid, we could be making like the rush, right? Makom hefsid, you could be making like the rush. So these are all sveikos, meaning this is where that issue comes back, right? That the Ol Yaakov pointed out, from the Badei HaShulchan pointed out, that when there's a safek trefa, which these are all sveikos. One, I check my knife now, there's a begima. Do I know if the begima happened on this chicken or maybe 15 chickens ago? I don't know. All 15 of these chickens are sveikos. So to throw out 15 safek chickens, that might be a hefsid. So if it's a hefsid, that's that the Rama himself says you could be make of the makom hefsid. So then the question you have to start dealing with in halacha is, well, twofold. First of all, we had a machlokas when the Ramah is making makom hefsid. Is it hefsid meruba or hefsid? Right? Because it is a hefsid, but is it hefsid meruba? They're doing 120,000 chickens to throw out 15. Hefsid meruba? Maybe not. And even if you hold that it's got to be a hefsid meruba, you then have to define hefsid meruba and go back to that conversation we had, what was it, last week? About how you define exactly what's called a hefsid meruba. Do you do it percentage of overall production? Or do you say, look, for a normal person, 15 chickens would be a hefsin meruba. For the company, it's not a hefsin meruba, 15 chickens, but for a regular person, it would be hefsin meruba. There's even a discussion in Or HaChaim, in Hilcha Shabbos, are you allowed to discard one of these chickens on Shabbos? Is that called tikkun mana? Because you're not supposed to eat any of them, so you throw one out. So now that is throwing one out a violation of tikkun mana. So Magen Avraham in Shin Chav Gimel Sif Katan Yud Dalit says mutter. It's not tikkun mana because the whole thing's only chumrah. They're mutter anyway. The Rama says that the Rama says you can be makel magam epsid. So that's what the Mishnah Berurah quotes as the Ziyarcha Shulchan, and it's not a problem of borer either, because if something's only called psolas, if there's something inherently about it that's psolas, you're just choosing a random one. So that's not, you're not being borer any psolas out of anything, right? So that's it's not a problem with borer either. And it's not tikkun mana, like you said, because you don't even need to throw one away when it's bitarogas. You could just eat two and just leave one and then chuck it afterwards. You know, there's not, so of course you're allowed to throw it out on Shabbos. So it seems that that's not a problem. One last point. And that is, the Rama adds that din bitl barov yavish b'yavish is only in the case of min b'mino. But in the case of min b'she'eno mino, v'eino makiro afil b'yavish b'yavish sarach shishin. Right, we've discussed this briefly, but let's discuss it for another moment. That if it's yavish b'yavish min b'she'eno mino, you cannot rely on bitl barov, you need shishin. The very idea, though, that there exists such a concept called the tarovis yavish b'yavish min b'she'eno mino is a chiddush, right? Meaning, I have one pork loin that got mixed in with a bunch of lamb chops. So, how do I know which one it is? Probably the one that looks like a pork loin. It doesn't look like a lamb chop, right? That's probably the one that it is. How do you have yavish b'yavish? It's a tarovis of min b'she'eno mino. So, the very concept is hard to understand. So, the shach and sifkat and ches over here deals with that. He quotes from the Torah the two possibilities. One possibility is shenechtach l'chatichos takos, that they got cut up into very small pieces, so it's hard to identify. Or another possibility, that let's say I have lamb, and I have chicken, and I have steak, I have beef. I remember that one of my pieces of meat is aser, is treif. I just don't remember which one. So it's min b'she'eno mino, yavish v'yavish, and it's, I don't know which one it is, it's still the tarovas. So those are the two possibilities. So some Rishonim say that we would still follow Rov because Shishim only makes sense when there's Tam. Whereas others say that no, we follow Shishim because even though right now there's no Tam, if you just turn on a fire under them, then it will become a Tam issue. So it might be a Gezeira lest you turn on the fire, or that whenever there's a possibility of missing this Tam, we don't rely on Rov, even on a Daraisa level perhaps. Okay, so that's just to close out Simon Koftes. So again, we're going to go into Chazar week now, but as with Hashem, next Tuesday we'll have Bechina, and then we'll, the rest of the days before Pesach, we'll do whatever we can in Simon Koftes. Okay, have a great day, everyone.